your Bible and turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. Now, this is not the Gospel of John, which is toward the front of your New Testament. This is one of the three epistles of John, which are toward the back of your New Testament. I know, kind of confusing. So there's the Gospel of John, and then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John toward the back of your New Testament. So you're going to want to find those 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and choose 1st John. 1st John will be there in just a moment. Next Sunday, we're starting a brand new series. It'll be 5 weeks long. It's called Unshackled. And for 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about the fact that Jesus has come not only to forgive our sins, but also to set us free from our past. Amen? Yeah, because we experience the forgiveness of Jesus when we come to him, but many of those things that have been a part of our past, they want to hang on to us. But through the power of the gospel, we can be set free from those things. And I am just believing God that in these next 5 weeks, we are going to just see tremendous, tremendous breakthrough in our lives. I will guarantee you, you might not think, well, there's any one thing you can put your finger on that's really, really troubling you or you're struggling with, but I will guarantee you that every one of us in this place have things from our past that we still need to be set free from. Can you say amen to that? And that the Lord wants to bring us into newer, deeper levels of freedom in him. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says this. This is a tremendous promise. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. John is reminding us here that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Now, listen, I'm not the kind of person that's looking for a demon around every corner, but I'm also not naive enough to believe that the devil isn't after me. When we come to Jesus Christ, there's a target on our back, and the devil would love nothing more than to take us down. But according to this verse and many others, we can overcome with the help of God. Amen? Because greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world. Now, who is this one who is in us? Well, John is talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the fact that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has been sent into this world to empower us to live the Christian life. Last week, we celebrated the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus left this world, he didn't leave us alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to empower us. So everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross, when he died for our sins, and then when he rose from the dead, everything that he accomplished for us there, the Holy Spirit now takes those things and applies them to our lives so that we can live the kind of life that God has for us. I like to think of it this way. When it comes to our salvation, we can say three things about our salvation. We could say that we are saved, that we are being saved, and that we will be saved, okay? We are saved. The moment we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, everything changed. The Bible says that all things became new. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So in one sense, you can't be any more saved than you are right now. You can't be any more forgiven than you are right now. The Bible says that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you're, in one sense, you're as saved as you're going to get. There's nothing else that needs to take place. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're standing with God, instantaneously changed. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen? And that your past is completely, completely in the past as far as forgiveness goes. So we are saved. But we also look forward to the fact that we are going to be saved one day. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, we're all going to be changed and we're going to become like Jesus. But how many of you know we're not like Jesus yet? Amen? So we are saved. We're going to be saved. Right now, we're in this thing where we are being saved. And what I mean by that is we are becoming more and more like Christ. There's a progression that takes place. We call this sanctification. Our lives are progressively being changed. We sang the song this morning, from glory to glory to glory, right? That's we're just singing about what God is doing in our lives in this salvation, that we are growing in Him. Because fundamentally, when we become a Christian, the change takes place not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Amen. I want you to think about your life for a minute. Think of your life kind of like an iceberg, right? So you all know an iceberg, you don't see most of the iceberg, right? You see the very top of the iceberg. You only see what's above the water level. Most of that iceberg exists below the water level. And that's kind of how it is in our lives. The part that people see is not really most of who we are, right? So all the things that are above the water level that people see, how we act, how we talk, how we treat our spouse, how we behave at work, what kind of parents we are, these are all important things. These are above the water level things. These are the things that people see. But most of what defines us is actually beneath the surface. Things like our core values, not our stated values, not what we say we believe, but what's really important in our lives, our core values, our core validation. Where do we get validation? Where do we understand our self-worth? Where do we get that from? Okay, all of these things, they are below the water level. They're not the things that people see about us, but they're really the things that define who we are. And it's that sense of who we are that will determine what happens above the water level, the things that people will see. Does that make sense? And so God wants to go to work in our lives below the water level. He wants to get down there. He wants to get under the surface and really change our hearts. Jesus just exemplified this in so many different ways, but one of the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount just exemplifies what I'm talking about. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said this. He said, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery." But then he goes on to say, and they had all heard that, they'd learned that since they were little children. Then he goes on to say, "But I tell you, whoever lusts after a woman has already committed adultery in his heart." Now, I can just imagine these Jewish young men going, "Jesus, I mean, come on, what are you talking about? I mean, it's one thing not to commit adultery, but now, Jesus, you're trying to tell us we can't even think about it?" Yes, that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, look, the life that I have for you goes far beyond religion. It's not just a creed that you believe in, and it's not just a bunch of rules that you follow. The kind of life that I have called you to is transformational. I'm going to change who you are from the inside out. So it's not just the deed of committing adultery that God is after. It's even thinking about it. It's having impurity in our hearts and minds. That's where God wants to go to work. Amen? Transforming us. He said, "Well, that's pretty much impossible." And you'd be right. It's impossible for me and you to change ourselves. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. What God does in our lives is miraculous. We can't do it on our own. If we could change ourselves, we would have already done it. Amen? We can't change ourselves. It's only the work of God's Holy Spirit in our lives that brings this kind of core, deep transformation. Jesus said it this way. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus that came to Jesus and was asking Jesus questions about the kingdom of God. And here's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, "If anyone wants to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again." Born again. Jesus doesn't say, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you need to join a church. You need to follow some rules. You need to say you believe certain things. Jesus said, no, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, if you want to have the life that I have for you, you must be born again. Jesus says, we're going to start all over here, guys. We're going to start all over. We're going to start fresh, and I'm going to be bring change in your life from the inside out. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the, what? The Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Jesus says, what I want to do in you can only be done supernaturally. It can only be done by my Holy Spirit. You will never do it on your own. You must have my Holy Spirit to bring real change to your life. And so Jesus promised his disciples that when he left the world, when he left this earth, he was going to send his Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, Jesus gives this promise. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Okay, who's he talking about? The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's a miracle. It's a great promise. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be with you, and the way I'm going to be with you is my Holy Spirit is going to fill your life. And then right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he reminded his disciples of this promise that he had given them. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to point out a couple of things about Jesus' promise here. First of all, I want you to see that the Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Okay? We don't work our way to a certain spiritual level in order to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And then the other thing I want you to see here is that Jesus wants not just to touch our lives with the Holy Spirit, he wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus uses a very specific Greek word here. It's the same word that we use for water baptism. It means to be completely immersed in the water. And that's why we don't sprinkle here. Usually we immerse people because that's the truest sense of that word, to be immersed. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, God doesn't want to give us just a little sprinkle. God wants us to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, completely filled up to overflowing. You know, I know one thing about my life. This is what I need in my life. I need less Tim and more Jesus. Amen? I need less self and more Jesus. I want my words, my actions, even my thoughts, my heart, to be saturated with the Holy Spirit. And this is the only way we can live a life that God has called us to live. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. You might be sitting here thinking this morning, man, I can never live up to what God wants me to do. And you're right. You're right. But I can tell you that miraculously, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can transform you and change you. Amen? He can transform you and change you. I remember as a young Christian, one of the things that I really struggled with, I kind of chuckle at this now, but I had the foulest mouth. Man, I mean, at football games, football practice, I'm just telling you, every other word started with the letter F. I had a terrible, and I'd become a Christian, and yet my language was so out of control. It was actually embarrassing because I was telling people I was a Christian, but my mouth did not represent Christ-likeness in the slightest. And I began to pray, God, help me with this. And the way God helped me is he filled me with his Holy Spirit. And when he filled me with his Holy Spirit, this is amazing. When he filled me with the Holy Spirit, my language started to change. This is what God does. He changes us from the inside out. I could have tried to stop swearing for the rest of my life and been unsuccessful without God's help. Right? And it's a good thing I stopped, because preachers shouldn't swear. So thank God for the Holy Spirit. So Jesus gives this promise in Acts chapter 1 here, and he tells them in a few days, and we know now it was actually 10 days, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out on these disciples. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So they're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house with where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. How many of you would have loved to have seen that? Loved to have been there. Not some of you are like, I'm not sure. I don't know if I want to see that. Yeah, an amazing, amazing event as Jesus keeps his promise and he pours out his Holy Spirit. And they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in other tongues. Now, I want to say this. A lot of people kind of dismiss this experience as being, you know, part of church history. It happened in Acts chapter 2, but it's not really for today. And kind of their reasoning is, well, we don't see these, when it, you know, we haven't seen this rushing mighty wind. We haven't seen tongues like literally fire coming down on people's heads. So that was for then and not for now. But I would say this, there are many, many examples in the Bible of things that happened a certain way back then. Just because they don't happen the same way today doesn't mean it's not real for today. Does that make sense? Even Jesus, when he healed people, he healed people all kinds of different ways. Sometimes he laid hands on people. Sometimes he just spoke and they got healed. One time, Jesus made some, he spit in the dirt and made some mud and put it in a blind person's eyes. And when they washed their eyes, they could see again. Right? Now, we don't do it that way, but that doesn't mean Jesus doesn't heal. Amen? And so just because something happened in the Bible a certain way doesn't mean it, every detail has to be the same today. Now you say, well, what about the speaking in tongues part? I will tell you that I have never seen the rushing mighty wind. I've never seen literal fire come down on people's heads or the appearance of fire. I've never seen that, but I've seen many, many people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in another language. And that's what the word tongues means. It just means that this person is speaking in a language that they didn't learn on their own. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to speak that language. Now, that is such a great picture of what God does in our lives. This is exactly what God does. God makes things that are impossible for us on our own possible through the Holy Spirit. So speaking in tongues is maybe one thing, but there are many things that I could never do without the help of God. I could never love people perfectly without the love of God. Amen? I couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit. There are many things in my life that I would totally mess up and get wrong and do the wrong way if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit in my life. So I'm not going to say a lot about tongues. Some people get kind of weirded out about it, but I will say this. It's biblical. It's practical. Speaking in tongues invigorates our spiritual life. And speaking in tongues is something I do every single day of my life. I pray every day in tongues, every single day. The first time that I ever spoke in tongues, I'll never forget it. I was 14 years old. It's a pretty young Christian. And I went to a camp meeting. And I couldn't tell you who spoke that night or what the speaking was about or anything like that. I knew this. I knew I was feeling closer to God for whatever reason than I'd ever felt before. It was like the whole service, the Holy Spirit was just touching my life in an exceptional way. And then an invitation was given at the end of the service for those that wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I came up and I was praying all by myself. I was praying at this old wooden bench and there was a sawdust floor and all of that. This is an old-fashioned camp meeting. And I'm just there praying all by myself. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is just touching my life in such a powerful way. And I really didn't understand all of it. I heard a little bit about baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but it wasn't something I had experienced before. At that point, an elderly gentleman came over, and he just knelt beside me, just quietly, just knelt beside me, put his hand on my shoulder, and just started to pray for me. He was just praying for me, and then finally, after a little bit of praying for me, he says, "Young man," he says, "have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." And he says, "You're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit right now." He goes, "Just lift your hands up to the Lord." And I did that. And as soon as I lifted my hands up and started to worship, the Holy Spirit, it came upon my life. I began to speak in this language that I'd never learned. And I was changed, just drastically, miraculously transformed. And it wasn't just that I spoke in this language. Wow, God gave me just this love for him that I really hadn't had before. Just a new depth of love and a love for people that I hadn't had before. And so many areas of my life, they changed that moment that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I was already a Christian. I was already following Jesus. I'd been baptized in water. I was already a Christian. But it was at that point of being baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit, that things in my life changed so dramatically. And I'm telling you, that gift of baptism in the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. There's some people that kind of have this view about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that God is up in heaven and he's designating, okay, this person's Pentecostal, this person's going to be a Baptist, this person's going to be a Lutheran. I don't think God does it that way, do you? I think the gift of the Holy Spirit is available for every one of us. Now, maybe you're here and you've prayed and you've asked the Holy Spirit to fill you. Maybe you've even prayed for the gift of tongues and it's never happened. And so you just got discouraged and you thought, well, maybe it's just not for me. I want to encourage you today. Don't give up. Keep seeking God. Keep asking for more of him. I just figure in my life, I can use as much of the Holy Spirit as I can get in my life. Amen. You say, "Oh, it's just radical Pentecostals." Hey, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you can never get enough. You can never get enough of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's a lot of trappings that come along with Pentecostalism, and there are some woohoo kooky people out there. I get it, but that's not God's fault. Okay? And that doesn't make this experience any less real because people have taken it to extremes. The Holy Spirit filling our lives, it's biblical, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. I'll never forget, I didn't tell Rachel that I was going to tell this story. Rachel Perkins over here led many of the songs this morning. I'll never forget when Rachel got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was so wonderful. Rachel, at that time, I don't know how much church you were even coming to, but Rachel at that time was working in the nursery. This is years ago. I can't even remember how many years ago. She's working in the nursery. I really didn't even know Rachel that well. She comes up. This is after Wednesday night Bible study. She comes up to me. People were filtering out. She comes up, and she says, "Pastor Tim," she says, "I've been reading about baptism in the Holy Spirit." And I'm thinking she's going to ask me some theological question, and I'm going to answer her Bible question. She goes, "I've been reading about it, and I want it." I said, "Great. And let's pray for you right now." I grabbed two or three people. And a lot of times us preachers, we think, for salvations and altar calls, man, we got to have this music going. We got to have the mood right. And I'm kind of thinking, oh, man, I don't know. This is just two or three of us. There's no music, nothing. And there isn't this great move. This, you know, what's going to happen here? We just started praying for Rachel. And as soon as we started to pray, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak beautifully in another language. And it was a life-changing experience. I'll never forget it myself. When Rachel got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I just share that story with you to say you don't have to have, you know, this. We're going to have music this morning. You don't have to have all this other stuff going on. It's just so simple. So simple. asking God for everything that he has for us. Now, when that early church received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, man, the church just started to take off. Things just exploded. I mean, from that point on, miracles were taking place. People were getting healed. That very day, 3,000 people prayed to receive Christ. It was amazing. Peter stood up and he preached to a largely hostile crowd. Preached this incredible, thought-provoking, Holy Spirit-anointed message, and 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. Now, this is the same Peter who just a few weeks before was so intimidated by just one person, was so intimidated that he denied knowing Jesus. But after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he stands up in front of this hostile crowd and he delivers, man. That's what God does for us. Amen? He empowers us. He enables us to do things we could never do on our own. Holy Spirit does a lot of things for us. He'll convict us of sin when we need conviction. He'll encourage us. He reminds us of things that Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit, he'll warn us. He'll warn us about danger. There's been many times in my life I was about to make a certain decision and the Holy Spirit was just like a red flag. Said, no, don't do that. Right? He'll warn us. He'll caution us. On more than one occasion, I have responded, let's say, pretty in not a Christ-like way in an email that I've been writing. I thought, Pastor Tim, I just thought you were pastor and you never, hey, I can be as much of a rascal as the next guy without God's help. So I've had, you know, my email ready to go, ready to push send, and the Holy Spirit said, stop, don't send that. You haven't thought about that. You haven't prayed about that. You haven't sought the Lord about writing this email. Anybody else here have an email? Anybody have one you push send and you wish you wouldn't have? Anybody? Okay, yeah. So the Holy Spirit's very practical. He helps us in everyday life. The Holy Spirit helps us become more like Jesus, more like Christ in our lives. Look at Galatians chapter 5. We'll put it up here on the screen. Galatians chapter 5. This is a great picture of what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I look at that list and I think, well, there's probably one or two things on that list I could do a little better at. Anybody else here? I mean, there's probably a couple of things on that list you probably think, I'm doing pretty good with that. And there's probably other things on that list where you just go, oh, man, I could use a lot of work. How many of you just have two or three things on that list you could use some improvement on? Anybody? Anybody here? Yeah. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us become more like Jesus. You go through that list and you go, well, yeah, that's Jesus. That's like the description of who Jesus is. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the life we could never live without God's help. And so if you're seeing something on that list and you're going, wow, I wish I was better at that. I wish that I had more of that joy in my life. I wish I was more loving. I've got good news for you. The Holy Spirit will help you with that. The Holy Spirit will help you with that. Don't look at that list and go, man, that's just impossible. It's not impossible. Might be impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God. Amen? Not impossible for God. Now, one of the biggest mistakes that we make as Christians, one of the big temptations I think we face as Christians, is to come to a place in our Christian life where we somehow think that we can start living this Christian life without God's help. We start, I've been a Christian for a while, like, you know, He's helped me a lot. I've grown a lot of things, and I'm so much better than the person I used to be. And pride comes in, And we start thinking, well, I can kind of do this now. Wrong. Right? We can't. We always need God's help. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul wrote this. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? He writes these Galatians, are you really that stupid? Do you think now the things that you used to depend on the Holy Spirit for, you now think you can do on your own? Really? Tell me you're not that dumb, you know? Are you that foolish? But this is the temptation as Christians to start thinking that we can do it on our own. Look, guys, to win, to have victory, to get it right, to become like Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit 7 days a week, 24/7. Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, we are sitting ducks. You're going to fall flat on your face every time. We've got to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. So in just a moment, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to fill us to overflowing, to baptize us in His Holy Spirit. You say, well, what do I got to do? Well, it's easier than you think. Believe it or not, you don't have to jump through a bunch of spiritual hoops to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think this way. They think, I have to get to a certain spiritual level before I can get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm not there yet. Hey, it's just the opposite. You won't get to the next level without the Holy Spirit. God's not up there going, hey, as soon as you get to this level, I'll fill you with my Holy Spirit. As soon as you're good enough, as soon as you're holy enough, as soon as you're loving enough, then you'll get baptized with the Holy Spirit. God knows we will never get to that point without His help. Amen? So He's not withholding His Holy Spirit from us. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. This is what we're going to do this morning. Seek and you might find. Okay, some of you are on to me. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Okay? Now, I want to just pause right here, give a little explanation. Jesus is not saying you're evil. What He's saying is, compared to how good God is, we're all evil. Does that make sense? It's like, you want to do good things, how much more? You want to do good things for your kids, how much more does God want to do good things for us? So when we ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to get this in your heart and mind, God wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. It's what, you don't have to beg God, you don't have to get good enough for God, you don't have to jump through these spiritual hoops. God wants, He longs to fill you with His Holy Spirit. This is exactly what He has for you. And it's a gift from God. And so we're going to come this morning, we're going to ask. We're going to ask, and God's going to answer. We're going to open our hearts to Him and say, God, come and fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Come and fill me to overflowing with Your Holy Spirit. How many of you want more of the Spirit of God in your life? Just raise your hand. That should be a no-brainer for every Christian, right? We all need more of the Spirit of God in our lives. And so here's what we're going to do. A lot of times, Let's stand up this morning. Worship team, come on up. Here's what we're going to do this morning. A lot of times when I give an altar call, I invite people to come forward. I'll have a specific thing. You know, maybe it's people that want healing in their life, or maybe we're praying for salvation, whatever it might be. This morning's altar call is for everybody. It's an altar call for all of us. You all raised your hand and said you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask us all this morning to come right up here to the front. Okay? Let's make that step right now. Okay? Come on up. Come on up. I promise I'm not going to bite you. Come on up. We're going to ask this morning. We're just going to do what Jesus just said. We're just going to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. Awesome, awesome. Like coming to church. There's plenty of seats in the front. Okay. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. In just a moment, I'm going to pray over you, and we're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill our lives. But before we do that, there is one step that I think we need to take, that I know we need to take. There are some things that, if they're a part of our lives and we know it, and we refuse to ask God to change that, they block what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. It's not that God is withholding on us, we're withholding from God when we do that. So what do I mean? If there's bitterness and unforgiveness in our life, and we won't let that stuff go, we won't ask God to help us with that, and we get stubborn, that will hinder what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. Okay? That's not God's fault, that's our fault. You say, Pastor Tim, I've been really hurt. I've been really, really hurt. God can help you forgive anything. He can. So forgiveness, unforgiveness, rather bitterness. If there's a sin in your life that you're refusing to let go of, and we all sin, but I'm saying, you know there's a sin in your life and you refuse to ask God to forgive you, you refuse to confess that to God, it's always going to hinder what God can do in your life. It's like you're putting up a roadblock between you and God. So if there's anything right now that the Holy Spirit's bringing to mind and just saying, you need to deal with this, we're going to take a moment right now and do that. Okay, if there's any unforgiveness, bitterness, unrepented of sin, okay, anything like that, if you need to take that to God, the good news is we have such a gracious and forgiving God. He will forgive you like that. I mean, He'll take care of it like that if you'll ask Him to right now. So would you just bring that to the Lord right now? If there's something, you know there's something right now you just need to bring to the Lord. And you're just saying, God, I just don't want there to be anything. I want the road cleared here. All right? You're just like, it's like a spiritual bulldozer, and you're just coming in and saying, that's got to get out of the way. It's got to get out of the way right now. So just bring that to the Lord right now. Would you do that? Unforgiveness, bitterness, unrepented of sin. Just take it to God right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, oh God. Okay. The Holy Spirit is here right now. The presence of the Lord is so awesome in this place right now. I believe that God is going to baptize us. He's going to fill us with His Holy Spirit as we ask Him. Some of you, you might be moved to tears, okay? You might start feeling emotional. What happens sometimes is we get embarrassed or whatever. We don't want to be emotional and we just shut down. Don't do that. You can cry at church. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. If it's emotional, it's emotional. Go let the tears come. It's all right. Probably be good for you. All right? It's okay. Some of you, you'll begin to sense that God's giving you a language to speak. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to take control of your jaw and start, you're not going to start jabbering. But what the Holy Spirit does is there's just syllables there that we haven't learned. we're the ones that have to speak them out. Okay? It says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, so the Holy Spirit enabled them, gave them the ability to do it, but the Holy Spirit didn't take over their mouth. Okay? So if the Holy Spirit starts giving you that language, go ahead and speak it out. Just start speaking that. Even if it's going to be nonsense to you. You might think, I'm not going to do that. It's nonsense. Yes, it's a language you haven't learned. It's going to seem like nonsense. Listen, guys, you don't have to be embarrassed. This is a Pentecostal church. We believe in speaking in tongues here. I already told you, I do it every day, okay? And so if that happens, okay, I'm not going to come up and grab your head and shoulders and start to shake you or anything like that. It's going to be a beautiful thing when it happens. Beautiful thing. Wonderful thing. It's a gift from God, okay? God is not here to violate you. God is here to empower you and fill you. So open up to Him, okay? Just be open. Be open. Be open to God. All right, let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. And just you pray right now, come Holy Spirit, come and fill my life. Come Holy Spirit. God, I want less of myself and more of you. More of you. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Lord. More of your love, God. More of your grace. More of your holiness in my life. God, I want my heart and mind to be holy and pure before you. I need the river of your Holy Spirit to wash away the junk and debris in my heart, in my life, God. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. Fill me, God. Fill me, God. Lord, I want the bitterness, unforgiveness. I want that cleansed out of my life. I want to be filled and empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be more bold to witness for you, God. I'm tired of being fearful and intimidated. God, I want to have that boldness, God, to witness for you, to be unashamed of Jesus. Lord, fill me. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just let it. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Some of you right now, you're receiving. Yeah. 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 Just let it flow. Yeah. Let that gift of tongues flow. Let those tears flow. Hallelujah, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, God. Fill us with yourself, God. Fill us with your presence, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Everything you have for us, God. Everything you have for me in life. Everything you have for me this morning, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Fill my life, God. Fill me up, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Lord, we praise you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, just keep on waiting. Keep on letting the Holy Spirit fill your life. Keep letting the Holy Spirit fill your life.